your liberty and your freedom and your ability to say, praise God, never begin by you trying harder. Sometimes we have this in our minds, if I just try harder. It begins by surrendering to the one who has already accomplished your total rescue.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, July 5th, 2026. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled Christian Freedom, and our text comes to us from Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
It's a privilege to be alive today and to be able to say God bless America. It's a great opportunity for all of us. So many things that come to my mind as to how we came to this country and we immigrated. We came here in 1959. So you can add up the years. And this is a country where if you play by the rules, you get somewhere. You get somewhere. In my country, if you play by the rules, know for sure that they'll change every 24 hours. So the steadiness and the ability to move forward and to plan a future and to carve a future. I was going to get into other things, but let me just say that this is a wonderful country. And I can say God bless America. And we know we're not a perfect country. We're not a perfect union. But my country is not perfect either. And between that perfection and this perfection, I'm here. So I'll keep going here another 250 years. So it's a great country. Be proud and be thankful that you live in the United States of America. We know we have deficits. Of course we do. But this is the greatest country in the world. And if you don't believe that, then I have a couple of tourism points that I can suggest to you that I can do that privately, and I think Cuba is waiting for some of you. Okay, I'll get myself into all kinds of trouble, right? I don't care. At this time of my life, I can get into all the trouble I want. The greatest declaration of independence, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. This is the text for this morning. It's a wonderful, wonderful text. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The word of the Lord. Every 4th of July, we Americans, those who live in this country, remember that it is an incredible event that took place in this day 250 years ago. It was in July 4th, 1776, that the Declaration of Independence announced a new nation that would no longer live under the authority of a distant king. It proclaimed liberty and human dignity, the right of people to govern themselves. And When you really kind of think it through, the Declaration of Independence stood or had this incredible assumption. The founders of this nation believed that liberty could only survive if people governed themselves according to moral principles. People all over the world copied the Constitution of the United States. But the problem is that it's just a copy and a piece of paper. What makes us unique is that every word in the Constitution is attached to a purpose of moral behavior and moral standards that do not necessarily exist in other parts of the world. Freedom without virtue eventually destroys life itself. The fact that you have a piece of paper and say, we believe this, is one thing, but people have to live that belief in order for the Declaration of Independence, in this case, to continue. But nearly 1800s before that happened, there was another declaration made, not by politicians, but by God himself. And it was not written in parchment, but it was accomplished through the cross of Jesus Christ. It didn't free one nation from the other. It liberated sinners from the dominion of darkness. The Declaration of Independence changed history, absolutely. But the gospel changed eternity. One established political freedom. The other one established spiritual freedom. And today we ask just one question. This morning was just one question. What is true freedom for you and for me? What does it mean to be free? And to be free, first of all, you need to recognize our true present condition. Scripture says he rescued us from the dominion of darkness. Paul begins with a very uncomfortable truth, that humanity is not naturally free because there is such a thing called sin. And before Christ, we lived under another dominion. And the apostle deliberately uses political language. He says the word dominion, referring to authority, to rule, to government, to jurisdiction. We were not simply making wrong decisions. We were living under the authority of darkness. Our world defines freedom as an unlimited choice. But Scripture defines freedom as liberation from an enslaving ruler. Enslaving ruler. Paul's reader understood clearly the concept of kingdoms and emperors and conquered people. And they immediately recognized what Paul was saying, describing a transfer of allegiance from one kingdom to another, not merely a change of behavior, but a change of dominion. Sin is not merely breaking the rules. Sin is attempting to live apart from God. And darkness in life, disconnected from God, is absolutely tyranny. Whenever humanity seeks independence from God, it inevitably falls under another master. And so today, you and I are celebrating 250 years of independence from the government of Great Britain, from the kingdom across the seas. But my true understanding of freedom is much more than just being free politically. Because in those days, as today, freedom begins by recognizing our true condition. And today, many people continue to live in fear. Others continue to be moderated by anger. Others have addictions. Others have greed. Others have pride. Others have guilt. And this is why the greatest emancipation comes when you come to Christ, where you can be free from fear and free from anger and free from addiction and free from greed and free from all the things that so much stubbornly want to control our life. The greatest slavery is often invisible. And you and I need to look at our lives and make an assessment as to where we stand today in the issues that make us and define us as God's people. God's grace is the divine rescue of everything, because it says in the scriptures that we read this morning, he has rescued us. He has rescued us. The subject of the sentence is that God is acting, and God acts all the time, and humanity responds. Christianity never begins with human effort. It's always God that initiates in your life freedom, a new path, a new gateway, a new way of looking at life. Paul doesn't say that we escaped the kingdom of darkness. No, it doesn't say that we discovered God. No, it says God rescued you and me. Think of it. He did the Mission Impossible caper. He is the one who came to rescue you and me. And he gives you and me an opportunity to be free, truly free. For God has entered into the scene of our life. Salvation is always God's initiative. God is the one that starts the process from beginning to end. A great writer, and if you've never have read Eugene Peterson, you should. He captures the experience of salvation and our former life. He says, our former life was a dead end alley and dark dungeons. And often our life before we knew Jesus was a dark alley. Yes, a dead-end alley and a dark dungeon. And yet Christ comes and sets us free from that. We have the peril that sometimes we do some slip and slide. But I'm here to tell you that God has purchased your redemption and that you need not have a life of guilt or pride or greed or anger or fear ruling your life. There is a freedom and a liberty that is absolutely, absolutely unmatched by any effort in the world today. That's the whole point. We have no excuse for living Christian life that is sloppy, but sometimes we get sloppy and we forget what we really have in Christ Jesus. He says, we have redemption. Redemption, that's the rescue. We have been redeemed. But redeem involves a price. Freedom has never been free. No, no. The Declaration of Independence eventually required sacrifice in the battlefield. And we don't want to go through a history lesson here this morning, but I want you to know that our redemption required the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. So it's not that we have cheap salvation. It's very expensive. It's absolutely unbelievable what God has done for you and me. And for us to take advantage of that liberty of being able to say, I have been rescued by God. God has done a work in my life. I've been redeemed by God himself. He is the one that went out there and said, we're going to rescue. And the rescue took place. The prison door could only be opened because Christ carried the chains himself. The prison door to your happiness and to your well-being and to your life as it should be lived was done through Jesus Christ who died on the cross. He purchased our liberty, our salvation. So I want you to know that your liberty and your freedom and your ability to say praise God never begin by you trying harder. Sometimes we have this in our minds, if I just try harder. It begins by surrendering to the one who has already accomplished your total rescue. How many can say amen to that? Amen. You know, sometimes, you know, I mean, we all fall into this. It's a slip and slide and a sloppy way of looking at our lives. He's done it all. He has done it all for us. Which leads me to the second item in my sermon notes is that God never saves us from, he always saves us unto something. He doesn't save you from darkness. He also saves you into light. There is a transition that you need to understand has happened when you came to Christ. And this is the whole idea. He says, and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. You've already been transferred over there. You no longer belong to the domain of Satan, to the domain of the world. You're no longer in charge. God is in charge of your life. You're now in the domain of the kingdom of his dear Son, Jesus Christ. He, yes, for you, that's your habitat. You live there. Now, you may not have noticed it, but you live there. That's where you are. Salvation is not just an escape. Salvation is not just a, salvation is an entrance into a life, into a freedom to be everything God intended for you to be. It is a wonderful experience that you've moved from darkness to light. Open your eyes and see the light. That shining in front of you is the Lord's presence. There's a pathway for you. There's a way out from the darkness and the agony and the disappointments and the issues that you carry in your heart. From condemnation to forgiveness. If I've ever heard a message in this church, it's that one. That God never shames you. He doesn't put you down because of things you've done before. You were in the kingdom of darkness. For crying out loud. You lived in darkness, but he's come to rescue you and move you away from darkness into light. He has given you forgiveness of all their sin. No condemnation. God doesn't put you down. Why don't you just say that? God doesn't put me down. Go ahead. You need to say, you don't sound convincing. But God does not put you down. He entered into a plan to rescue you, and he rescued you. He moved you from slavery into sonship. You were a slave before, but now you're a child of God. From death to life. Think of what God is doing for you. And listen, this for me is the greatest of them all. Not greatest, but one of the wonderful things. From isolation into community. You no longer have to live alone. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Communion with God. He moves you from the dirt of the world into the brightness of his kingdom. From living your life and see what you do with it to a life of communion with God, where all things are possible. Barclay says in his commentary, the word transfer was used when a victorious king relocated entire populations to another kingdom. And the citizens did not negotiate with the transfer. The king accomplished it all. And that's exactly what Christ did himself. He transferred you without asking you permission. He transferred you into the kingdom of his dear son. I'm telling you, it's so understandable that you and I need to live different types of life. Life of freedom and liberty. Life as mission accomplished. God has set me free from the power of sin and darkness. God has given me the ability to live for his glory. Hallelujah for that. And your past sins and all of the issues that you're dealing with are secondary to the power of Jesus in your life. And see, the kingdom of God, the way in which he transferred you to the kingdom is not just going to heaven when you die. It's a present reality of living under God's reign. God reigns over you this moment. And you need to enter into that power of the King who helps you discern and understand and move forward in his name. Salvation is not just the forgiveness of sins, but is learning to live in the kingdom of God today. Amen. How do I explain this? I don't know how to explain this. All I can tell you is that I'm still in this world, but there are issues that come to me. But I say, you know, I live in your kingdom, Lord. Lord, let your kingdom come. Thy will be done. In heaven. Solamente in heaven? No. So, you see, I want that will of God, that kingdom of God to rule in my life and in my heart, so that I can live under his love and his care, under the rule of Jesus the King. Amen. There was somebody who came to me some time ago and said, what do you think about demons? I said, I don't think about demons. Well, what do you think? Do they have power over you? I said, you know, if a demon comes close to me, I feel sorry for the demon. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. And the blood of Jesus covers me. I mean, it's the kingdom of God. This is not cheap stuff. This is good stuff, solid stuff, where you can bank your life against it. You are in God's kingdom today. And so this is one of the greatest, most wonderful revelations you could ever have. God never delivers you into emptiness. God always delivers you into relationship with him. He is the one next to you right now. He is in your thought processes. He is you're getting up and you're going down. He's wherever you find yourself, God's kingdom and rule is there. And you need to simply submit that to God and say, Lord, I'm dealing with this network at work. And this person at work is really giving me trouble. Help me, Lord. How do I take care of it? And then you just leave it there and God will take care of it. He will give you, because you trust him. Now, you can start conniving. Okay, I'm going to say, he said this and he said that. And you get into that game and you fall flat, because that's not your kingdom anymore. Your kingdom of light is you refer this to God and you ask the Lord to help you through in this. So you have bills to pay and the income is not there. You need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I got bills to pay. Good grief, Lord. What am I going to do? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tithe. Silencio en la noche. Silence, you know. But it's true. You prove God through his word how things work. So if someone comes and accuses you of something, it's a lie. You bring that before the Lord. Amen. You bring things to God and you live to the best of your ability by looking at the points
that Jesus shows you as you live.
Amen. So you are saved from darkness. So don't walk in darkness. Don't walk in darkness. Stay away from things that are dark and bad. He saves you into communion, relationship with God. That's your freedom. That's your liberty. Huh? Come on. Yeah. He saves you from slavery. So stop acting as a slave. You are a child of God. Amen. Come to Him as a child of God. He saved you from sin. And you know, that sin that so easily gets a hold of you, you can get rid of it by just submitting it to God. Amen. Oh yeah, the Bible talks about that sin that so easily besets us. There's a certain class of sins, oh boy, in getting into it, right, that just likes you. Or maybe you like certain sins in your life, and you make room for it. I'm getting into all kinds of trouble here. I can see by looking at you, but especially the ones that are seeing me on camera now. That sin that so easily besets you, that gets you down, is the one you need to submit to God. He's giving you power over that. You need to say, Lord, help me with this. Some of you have the gift of gossip. Yes. Remember that time years ago, I had this brother who said, I don't think that brother is saved because he smokes. I said, what does smoking have to do with salvation? And I said, you know, you can smoke and be a good Christian, but I doubt that you can be a good Christian and be a gossiper. More damages than with gossip. Surrender to the Lord. Lying tongue. Should I move on to my next? Yeah, I think I better move on. But see, we're saved to light. We're saved for a new type of life. A new venue, the freedom that the Lord has given you and me. We are saved into life with God and not to sin and try to get away with it. So our relationship with God is the bridge between the from where we come into what we are becoming. So without that relationship, my brothers and sisters, and you don't practice that relationship, freedom becomes nothing more than another form of slavery, because you have a guilt in your heart and you carry that thing. Again, I call it sloppy Christians, you know. You know the Lord, you're saved. When you die, you probably will go to heaven. I'm saying probably, but I know you'll go to heaven. You'll get there. But you have boycotted the greatest opportunity to live in the kingdom of God now.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
This is so true. Spiritually and culturally. I really believe that. Freedom requires a moral order. It really does. And you need to be constructing a lifestyle that shows morality, that you choose ethics, yes and no. And you say, I will not do this. That's how we sustain political freedom, by choosing the right people. You know, somebody said to me, you never told anybody how to vote. No, never, never, never. But I will tell you, you need to vote your conscience. And I pray that your conscience has been molded by God's word. And that's how you vote for people. You don't vote because of a party. You vote because of the issues that are tied to an action that is moral. Is it morally correct? Can I actually vote for someone who believes in abortion? My commitment, no, we cannot. If I were to say, can you actually vote for someone that doesn't lie? Then I'm going to have to keep my mouth shut because I don't know anybody that doesn't lie. Let's not kid ourselves. There's nobody perfect. But you must look at the avenues and say, this is what needs to happen in my life and in this country. I want you to know, marriage requires a covenant. And you need to keep that covenant. You really do. Marriage requires love. Churches require holiness. The kingdom of God requires the presence of the King. The Lord has caused us to have a relationship that affects every area of our life. And freedom cannot sustain itself. It flourishes with God's moral point of view in your life. I need to finish. We have communion this morning. I want you to know that freedom is not the absence of authority. The freedom that you and I have is living under the right authority as to how I should do things in my life. Modern culture today will define freedom as independence. But Jesus defines freedom as abiding in him. Wow, what a concept. The world says, no one tells me how to live. Jesus says, follow me. And it's listening to that radical view of liberty that causes us to be God's people. That we follow what the Lord says in our hearts. Freedom, really unique freedom, personal freedom, is becoming the person God wants you to be. It's asking the Lord, Lord, you've begun a work in my heart. Finish it, Lord, with your help. I want to live my life with you with that freedom. And the greatest liberty for the Christian is not autonomy. I do whatever I want. The greatest freedom is joyful obedience to do what God shows us in our heart that we need to do. Again, Eugene Peterson, he wrote a wonderful book called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. Wonderful book, wonderful book. Freedom is not preserved by emotional experience. It's cultivated through a daily relationship with Christ. Every day. You know, I really can't do nothing about yesterday. How many know that yesterday all my troubles seem so far away? Yesterday, it's gone. I'm sorry. You can't. You, the only thing you can do with yesterday is to repent. You can't redo your day. But you can submit this new day to the Lord. And the Christian never really asks the question, you know, what am I free to do? What can I get away with? But the real question of the Christian is, what kind of person is Christ forming me to become? I want you to know that when you say to the Lord, Lord, what are you forming me? Paul talks about Christ being formed in us. A truly free person works towards worshiping joyfully. Amen. Worshiping joyfully. Amen. One more time. Worshiping joyfully. So you come to church and you don't, what is it called when you mimic it? Is it you mouth it, or, you know, the song is playing and you just. Some of you know that because you practice it here. There is something about singing it out. It comes from the deepest part of your life. Person worships joyfully when they have the sense of freedom. I'm not saying anything you don't know, but another way of expressing our freedom is that we are able to forgive generously. Ooh, that's a hard one for some of us. Because, you know, we are made up of yesterday's errors. And we cultivate yesterdays because yesterdays seem to give us something to think about. You need to ask the Lord to help you to forgive generously because you have been forgiven generously. Think of someone you need to forgive. Let that be your project for this week. Serves humbly. You know, Brother Ash, some of you still remember Brother Ash. Brother Ash, when we had conversations regarding, he was a former pastor. He stayed in this church 26 and a half years. And I said, dear Lord, how can anybody stay in a church 26 and a half years? Here we are. Here we are. He said to me, you know, he says, brother, preach the word. And be humble. And then he added, being humble means something. You can talk, but you've got to be humble.
humble. You serve with humility. You don't do things to, oh, look at what they's doing. You're just humble. Just do it. You want another one for freedom? Truly, free person worships joyfully, forgives generously, serves humbly, gives sacrificially. You give three things. You give time, talent, and treasure. And you do so without thinking about it. Do I tithe from my gross or do I tithe from my net? I said, well, how do you want to be blessed, from your gross or from your net? This is silly. You just give. Give financially? Yes. Yeah, you do. You talent? Yeah. Here are the talents God has given me. I give that to the church. Yes, I'll give that to the Lord. Yeah. And what are your talents? You know them. I don't have to mention them. Sometimes we seem to be begging for people to do things in church when God has gifted you to do things. Anyway, that's another message. But that's so absolutely true. You know, so your treasure, your talent, your time, give that sacrificially. It's not the extra, but sacrificially. So you drive the extra mile. We're getting to be more of a communal church, which is wonderful. And Chris is listening to this. Chris and the whole family, they're coming at the end of the month when all the shots for the baby are done. That's what he's told me. So I told him I have a couple of shots to give him too. So. But you give sacrificially. You obey willingly. How many times does the Lord have to say or speak to you to do something? You just willingly do what he asks you to do. You just do it. Let me tell you something. God will never punish you. You will never be in the wrong side of the equation when you do what he wants you to do. And if the Lord is pushing you to do something and you don't want to do it, that not wanting to do it is a giveaway. It's a giveaway. It's a giveaway that you need to do it. Not because you must, but because you belong to the kingdom of his dear son. Amen. That's your citizenship. That is the kingdom that will never cease to be. So let me conclude by saying every 4th of July, yeah, fireworks until 2:30 in the morning. I'm telling you, I think next time that happens, in the next 250-year anniversary, I'm going to move out of the house. It's the night sky was unbelievable. I mean, the bombs they were throwing. I mean, who knows what was going on, you know? But every Lord's Day, the empty tomb illuminates all of eternity. Wow! All of it is there. One declaration gave birth to a nation. The other gave birth to a new creation. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. One proclaimed, yes, political liberty, but the other one proclaimed what you and I have, which is eternal redemption. One created citizens, the other adopted sons and daughters into his kingdom. So today we thank God for the blessing of civil liberty. By all means, this is the greatest country in the world. If you don't think so, you need to travel. You need to just go a couple of blocks away and you'll see the difference. All the bad press that our country has been receiving in Europe and all the Europeans that are visiting our country are saying, oh, we couldn't believe it, you guys have air conditioning. That's what happened when we went to Europe. We were going out of our minds because there was no air conditioning, though it was winter. I mean, and now New York, apparently, you can only go up to 78 degrees. Let me move away. You know what I'm saying. This is the greatest country in the world because our greatest freedom came from a group of men who made a decision to be free from bondage. And you and I have the greatest freedom, not one in Philadelphia, but at Calvary. Freedom forevermore, confirmed by the empty tomb, proclaimed through the gospel and written upon each one of our hearts. My brothers and sisters, this is a wonderful day to celebrate 250 years of independence. But the greatest independence that you can celebrate is the one that Christ brought to your life. He transferred you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son, Jesus Christ. There can be no better kingdom than that one. The one that you and I enjoy today for the glory of God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So Lord, we thank you. Because though we rejoice on those some 65 people that signed the Declaration of Independence. But Lord, I thank you because our independence was sealed by the blood of God's Son, confirmed by his resurrection. And it continues to transform every life that enters into the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen.
Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed
Amen. All right. This is the day that the Lord has made. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord. Happy Fourth.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like more information about our church, you can visit our website at www.bb4square.org. If you would like to see the full service with the worship time included, check out the live stream here on YouTube. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.